So we are continuing our sermon series on gifted. And what I want you to be listening for today and what we'll really be looking at is what we've already been singing about. You heard us sing it really the first song and the second song, and that is, who are we? And I want you to know that you are gifted by God. And if that's what you get out of the sermon series, then that's exactly what I hope and pray you're getting. And so what you're going to hear shortly is Paul in his letter to Rome. Out of all of Paul's letters, this one is the most systematic. His other letters were written to churches that had trouble, that he was trying to solve the problems, that and he would have theology that was sort of incidental to this other thing that he would be dealing with. But in Romans, he sat down before he got out there to introduce himself and this new way of being a Christian that that he wrote out the closest thing that we have to systematic theology from Paul. And so I want you to hear then in this organized way who Paul says that you are. Cheryl.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to say a special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us via Facebook Live or watching online at a different time. You truly are part of our congregation in these moments. And I'd like to take a moment to introduce all of you to a young woman named Shubnam Khan. Shubnam is a South African woman. She is, I think, now in her mid-20s. She is an author. She is gaining some fame in her country. But what I want to tell you about Shubnam Khan is that when she was in college, she was, as most of us, a poor college student, and somebody offered to do free headshots, and she thought that would be helpful for her potential career, and so she signed a standard photographer's release and had her photo taken. Didn't think much more about it except that she was pleased with her pictures. Well, some years later, one of her friends called her and said, I know that you're in favor of immigration and everything, but since when did you start advertising for Canada and for Canadian immigration? And she said, what do you mean? And so he showed her this ad. This is an ad for Canadian immigration, and she looked, and sure enough, that was her picture, but she couldn't figure out how her picture had found her way into this Canadian immigration advertising campaign. And then she remembered the pictures that she had taken during college. And she remembered that she had signed some release that she thought just meant that he was going to use her pictures in a portfolio of his. She then got curious, because if her picture, she's South African, if her picture got this far, then where else might her picture be? And so she started looking. So here is for advanced sedation dentistry. Where do I start? Let's schedule a consultation. And there she is. Then she looked, and there's a dating service, and she is allegedly Kelsey from Peoria, Arizona, which is quite a far way from South Africa. She looked further. This is advertising for Skin Light. She had several headshots, and so this is a picture, and then they photoshopped it into an after picture. And then there also is See Why Everyone is Raving About Dermalite. And suddenly she's seeing herself as these before and after pictures. Apparently both of them are photoshopped, but the one on the right, the after, was especially photoshopped. She kept looking, and this is for Study Bridge, which is private tutoring for grades K through 12. At the bottom, you might see that she is Chandra S. from Palo Alto, California, that Chandra S. has an undergraduate from Yale and majored in chemistry and has 2 years experiencing tutoring with Study Bridge. It shows her SAT scores and also the variety of subjects that she will tutor your child in. It even offers for you to contact Chandra if you want Chandra to be your tutor for your child. There was more. This shows a magazine cover. That's the magazine cover that is studying India. And they even applied a red dot to her forehead, although she herself is not Indian. So out of all of these things, and here are some of the other places that this one woman's face was taken just from photos that her photographer sold online. What happened? Well, so she called the photographer. And she said, I know I signed a release, but now I actually am an author in South Africa. People are beginning to recognize my name. Would you please stop selling my face for all of these things? And he agreed to stop selling her face going forward, but everyone who had bought the pictures in the past still owned them and owned access. And so Shubnam's face may yet be showing up other places. So what do we take from this? Well, first of all, it's not surprising, but don't believe everything you see online. And don't believe all those before and after testimonial pictures, whether it's online or a mailer you receive in your mail, because it might just be a photoshopped picture, if not of Shubnam, then somebody else. But there's more than that. And what I want to look at with you today is that there is a world that is ready to tell you who you are. They want to take your picture and they want to apply it to all sorts of different things because they want you to be the way they want you to be. And I want you to know that God longs for you to be exactly who God has made you to be. The wonderful, unique person that God has made you to be, that is who God longs for you to be. You've already heard Cheryl read that to us in Scripture. Paul was writing about that. He said, don't be conformed to this world. Oh, the world wants to conform you. The world wants you to buy the skin-lightening things. The world wants you to go to get the tutoring. The world wants you to be a consumer. The world wants you and needs you to buy things. And don't be conformed to this world, Paul says. My son in Silicon Valley he's now in Santa Barbara, but he and his wife are raising my granddaughter there. Hello, if you're watching. And one of the things that has been surprising to me is that they have a rule in their household, and that is absolutely no screen time for their daughter. No TV, no devices, no iPads, no phones. And that surprises me because both of them have been very active in Silicon Valley. But what they know and what studies are continuing to show is that the younger that our children are exposed to screens, the more it affects their brains as they grow. And what happens then is that we make of our children consumers. We make of our children people who are used to seeing violence and video games, and that plays out later as they grow up. We allow our children to be conformed to the world the more we allow them at younger ages to have access to screens. And that's just one way we see that. But there are so many other ways the world tries to conform us. But Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable for you. You see, God has a will for each one of us, a vision, a dream of who we are, and God has given us the gifts that we need. Paul has more for us. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You see, our value comes in the measure of faith that we have received. If you're saying, oh, I'm wonderful and I'm awesome, look at my advanced degrees, look at the car that I drive, look at the clothes that I wear, aren't I wonderful? Then that's not why we're wonderful. But you need to know that you are amazing and you are awesome precisely because that God has made you and gifted you with exactly what you need. He continues, for as in one body we have many members, and not all of the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. Here, once again, we see God's amazing generosity to each one of us, because we have been given not only what we need, but God has given the person sitting next to us what we need also, and God has given us what the person sitting next to us needs. None of us have all of the gifts, but together we have all of the gifts that we need. We've already heard that today in a couple of different ways. To hear Patty Rick's faith story is to hear of a girl who grew up into a woman who has touched and continues to touch so many lives through her gift of music. Even though we didn't share the stories of the band members, but we could have heard similar stories too. Gifts of music that began in a young age that have been nurtured, that God has utilized, and that touch us in as we worship together. We've heard it also as we have thanked our veterans, those whose services have helped pave the way to peace. Their use of their gifts to help bring about the very best in the world which they dreamed through their service, that's touched each of us and it's enabled us to be here worshiping in freedom today. Know that the gifts that you need are the gifts that you have. And know that the gifts that you have are the gifts that the entire church needs. Paul listed many of them there in the scripture lesson. He talked about prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, being compassionate and cheerful. God has shared these gifts with us, and we're part of the body of Christ, which means that we share those gifts with one another. And as we share our gifts, we're not doing it just for ourselves, or doing it for each other, but we also will benefit ourselves. There's a longitudinal study that's been done by Harvard University. It has followed almost 800 people through their entire lives. It began with Harvard's classes of 1939 to 1944, which means that that study that's still going on has gone through many generations of researchers. But the Harvard classes of 39 for 44 were the basis of that. The researchers quickly realized, though, with that, what they were getting was a fairly isolated, well-educated, well-off group of people. And so they expanded their study and went to the poor areas of Boston. And again, beginning in 1939, began to study their lives too. And the questions that they have asked were not just what made for a long life, but what made for a happy life. The answers are some answers that they could not even have begun to realize in 1939 would have been a thing to study. It took later researchers to discover that. Here are factors that they've identified to not just have a long life, but a happy life. Avoiding smoking, moderation in alcohol, a happy childhood, making meaningful relationships, which can make up for an unhappy childhood, developing coping skills. And then this last one that I want you to hear is generativity, which is defined as living a well-rounded life and giving back to others and society. Note what they didn't say. There is no mention of personal wealth. There's no mention of success in one's profession. No mention of what car people drove, what jewelry they wore. I mean, there were a few health things, not smoking and not drinking too much. But what they found was that thing that surprised them that really wasn't studied that much in 1939. That was that relationships are important, that giving back is important. You see, we are not made to be a face on advertisements. We are made to be people who live lives of giving back, of generosity, of generativity. You wouldn't buy a beautiful sports car and then set it in your garage and open the hood and maybe plant plants in different areas around the engine block. No, that sports car is designed to be driven on the roads. The gifts that God has given you are not designed to be stuck in your closet, but they are designed to be shared with the world. We're not to hide them under a bushel, but we are to share them. There are so many things that that can mean, but today I want to remind you that you would have received a mailing this last week sharing with you information about what gifts you had shared with the church in this last 12 months. Next week we will receive those estimates of giving for the next year. And I want to remind you that we have all been so blessed, and that this is one more way that by celebrating the gifts that God has given us, the abundance with which God has gifted us, by sharing that, we truly can make a difference in this congregation. And so I ask you to be prayerful about that as you prepare to bring that back next week. But know that we are all gifted. We all have so many gifts, so many different types of gifts in so many ways. And the world needs our gifts. This body of Christ needs these gifts. Live in that joy of the gifts you have received. Let us pray together. Oh God, you are so generous to us. You have given us far more than we ever could imagine. May we not only be grateful for the gifts that we have received, but may we see ourselves as living out this wonderful calling that you have shared with us, and sharing these gifts not only with ourselves, but with all to whom you have called us. Amen.